Charitam. Activities. Adbhutam. Wonderful. Yat. From which? Bhagavata. Of the Lord's devotee, Prahlad. Mahatmyam. The glories. Bhagavat Bhakti.
Devotion to the Lord.
Increasing. Vardhanam. Increasing. So there's another verse here, and I'll just read it. Yate paramam punyam shibir naradadibhi natva krishnaya munaye katayashe hare katam. And the word by word synonyms. Giyate is sung. Paramam, foremost. Punyam, pious. Rishabhihi, by the sages. Narada Adivihi, headed by Sri Narada Muni. Natva, after offering obeisances. Krishnaya, to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. Munaye, the great sage. Katayishe,
I shall narrate.
Harehe, of Hare. Katam, the topics. Translation, the great sage Shukadeva Goswami said, my dear king, you have put before me an excellent question. Discourses concerning the activities of the Lord, in which the glories of his devotees are also found, are extremely pleasing to the devotees. Such wonderful topics always counteract the miseries of the materialistic way of life. Therefore, great sages like Narada always speak upon Srimad Bhagavatam because it gives one the facility to hear and chant about the wonderful activities of the Lord. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva and then begin describing topics concerning the activities of Lord Hare. So purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami offers his respectful obeisances, Krishnaya Muniye, which means to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. One must first offer one's respectful obeisances to one's spiritual master. Shukadeva Goswami's spiritual master is his father Vyasadeva, and therefore he first offers his respectful obeisances to Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, and then begins describing topics of Lord Hari. Whenever there is an opportunity to hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord, we must take it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends Kirtaniya Sudahori. One should always engage in Krishna Katha by chanting and talking about Krishna and hearing about him. That is the only occupation of a Krishna conscious person. Okay. So Om Ganat Sivadandasha. Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Nidikam Yana Tasbai Shigure Namaha. So it's very interesting to hear how enthusiastic Shukadeva Goswami is just by being given the opportunity to speak about Krishna. And I was thinking as I was reading this that if you contrast that with a Kshatriya, the Kshatriya always becomes enthusiastic when there's an opportunity to fight, right? Like I was thinking about the story about Bhimsen in this place called Ekachakra. And this place called Ekachakra, they were living, the Pandavas were living in hiding. It wasn't their exile time, but they were living in disguise with this Brahmin family. And in this particular location, there was no strong king. So the Brahmin family, and not just the Brahmin family, but every family had to take a turn at offering one of their family members to be eaten by this demon, Vakasura, you know. And it's pretty bad, isn't it? And so what happened is the Pandavas were living at this house. They were guests. They were acting like brahmanas. They were living at the house, and it came the turn for that particular family. So most of the Pandavas were out that day. Bhimsen happened to be back. And, of course, Kunti was back, too. And there was a discussion amongst the family members in private, in a private room, not in front of the Pandavas, about who they would give to be eaten by this demon. So they were discussing back and forth. And actually, the father said it should be me because, you know, I'm responsible for the whole family. And the mother said, no, it should be me because who will take care and maintain the family later on. And then there was a daughter, and she said, it should be me because you'll just have to worry about getting me married later on. Because in Vedic culture, when you get the daughter married, she goes to live with her husband's family. So, and then a little tiny son, they had a little tiny son too, like he was about 4 years old. He said, it should be me, because you're going to have more kids. And so they were all just like this, crying together about this, it should be me. And they were all pretty much selfless. It's interesting. Even a little kid was ready to sacrifice his life. So Queen Kunti, or Kunti Devi, she was hearing what was going on there, and she came in, and she said, actually, we're guests in your house, and I have a son, and he should go instead. And they were saying, no, this is not the proper etiquette, because, you know, if you have a guest and you send him to be killed, it's not exactly the best hospitality. So she said, no, don't worry, my son knows many mantras. She didn't say that he was very strong, although it was apparent that he was strong. He was quite hefty, and these strong, big muscles. So they finally agreed, and Bhimsen, he was so enthusiastic about this whole thing. It's described that when he heard that he was getting an opportunity to fight, he kept hitting his arms like that. You ever see wrestlers, you know, sometimes they hit their arms like this, hitting their arms. And he was just hitting his arms, you know, just like, joy, how do you go? And so what happened is that when the other Pandavas came home that night, this is a story from Mahabharata, of course, they saw Bhimsen going like this. What's happening? And Yudhisthira said, what's happening with Bhimsen? And Draupadi, Kunti, explained exactly what had happened. And Yudhisthira said, no, you shouldn't have done that. You know, we're depending upon Bhimsen to regain our kingdom. Eventually, Kunti said, don't worry. Bhimsen can take care of this demon. And he was so enthusiastic for this fight. I mean, it's an interesting story in the Mahabharata that when he went to see that particular demon, the Bakasura, he was also carrying or accompanied by a cart full of different types of vegetables and other things like that. So he was eating from that cart as he was going to see the demon, and the demon saw him eating from the cart of the food that was meant for him. And the demon attacked Bhimsen, and Bhimsen was so much interested in eating at that time that he finished his food. He was eating with one hand and holding off the demon with another hand. And then he finished the food and, of course, killed the demon. So that was an instance of someone, a Kshatriya, who was very enthusiastic. That's a passion. That's a mode of passion. You know, when you get an opportunity to fight, or even, let's say someone has mixed Brahminical or Kshatriya tendencies, when they have an opportunity to argue with someone else. Like that Digvijaya, who was going all around India conquering people with his talking. And he, of course, ultimately he was defeated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that's also mode of passion. We're talking about the modes of nature. Someone in the mode of ignorance, you know, the only time he becomes enthusiastic if he hears that the bar is open, right? The bar is open, there's some liquor or some intoxication, illicit sex or something like that, and he just, his enthusiasm or his determination never goes beyond dreaming and procrastination. Procrastination means basically you put off for tomorrow or for the future what you can do today. So I'm just mentioning different types of entities and different modes of nature that are stimulated into action by different circumstances. Of course, in the spiritual world, the stimulation is technically called a vibhava. A vibhava means that which stimulates you for your emotion. Vibhava, you know, it's one of the primary bhavas in relationship to Krishna. Here goes, yeah, Vibhava, Anubhava, Vyabhachari Bhava, Sanchari Bhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Stai Bhava. So the Vibhava, but even it applies in this world, that you're stimulated by seeing something. Like, if someone is a Sony, they're stimulated by gold, right? What did you guys? Like, if I had a gold watch, and I said, Rishikesh would just be, wow. Not really, but not him. But if someone, so you see, it's actually funny that there's different stimulation. So for someone in the mode of goodness, not a pure devotee, he's stimulated with the idea of getting liberated. You know, there's some offer of liberation he hears, that if one reads a story in the Bhagavatam or in some other Vedic literatures, all of his family members and he will be liberated. Or if you go, another thing is they go to see Rath Yatra, they'll be liberated, especially if they get run over by the cart. So sometimes you find people throw themselves under the cart. So there's different things that attract different people according to their modes of nature. This is also described by Kapila Dev in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how even devotees in different modes of nature are stimulated by different things, which is interesting. Like a devotee in the mode of passion is stimulated by, basically like Kshatriya type stuff, because he's a separatist, he's very competitive, he wants to be better, he's prideful. And devotee in the mode of goodness is stimulated again by liberation, you know, becoming free from the material world. And a transcendental devotee, his mind is attracted, just like the example Lord Kapila Dev gives, it's like the Ganges flows down to the sea. His mind automatically is attracted to Krishna. So anyway, this is what's being talked about here in this particular verse. And it's actually interesting that Shukadeva Goswami touches upon goodness and also pure devotional service in this particular verse. He talks about counteracting the miseries of the materialistic way of life, which is a stimulation for someone in goodness but not yet pure devotee. You understand that? Like we mentioned before. And then he talks about, gives one the facility to hear and chant about the wonderful activities, Adbhuta, activities of the Lord. So that's someone who's transcendent, who really wants to do it, wonderful activities. So you get someone is stimulated by both things. First of all, you get rid of the miseries. Secondly, you become spontaneously attracted to the pastimes of the Lord. So this is like the carrot that's dangled in front. I mean, it's not just a carrot. It's actually offered to people who hear and chant about Krishna. And this verse is also very similar to the fourth verse in the 10th canto, chapter 1. It's Nivritta Tarshar Upagiyamanas Bhavoshado Shotra Mano Biravat. And the same thing is mentioned in this verse. Nivritta Tarshar, that when one hears and chants about Krishna, one gets rid of the miseries. Nivritta Tarshar. You understand? Upagiyamanas Bhavoshado Shotra Mano Biravat. It's very pleasing to the mind. Same thing. It's interesting. You know, you got parallel verses in different parts of the Bhagavatam. Mano Biravat. And then Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanava, that one who chants the transcendental verses, Uttama Shloka, that deal with the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it says that the only people who don't get attracted to this, Puman Virajeta Vana Poshugnat, are those who are killers of animals. This is also a very interesting point. In other words, those who are in the mode of ignorance are not attracted to the pastimes of Krishna at all. Those who are killing animals, eating animals, transporting animals, or have anything to do with mode of ignorance activities, they become so covered up. So only those, the statement is, vana pashugnat, only those who are doing mode of ignorance things will not be attracted to Krishna. So even if one is in the mode of passion, you're attracted to Krishna for the because there's so many benedictions there. Like you have these things at the end of each chapter of the Vedic literature. It's called the Shruti Pala. That means the fruits of the Shruti. That if one reads this chapter regularly, he will become more powerful and the king of this world, or he'll go back to Godhead. So there's actually some attractive features for both passionate people and mode of goodness and transcendental people in hearing and chanting about Krishna. I mean, there's also points about you give a donation to a Vaishnava or to pure devotee of the Lord, and you get back unlimitedly. Isn't that, that's like a passion. We have really nothing to offer to people in the mode of ignorance. I mean, what can we say? Chant Hare Krishna and get free from the material world? They'll think, I don't want to get free from the material world. I want to be like a dog. You know, you say to sometimes when you're preaching, say to people that if you're not careful, you become a dog in your next life, and they'll say, that'd be great. You know, just get a chance to sit down all day long and eat, and, you know, run after the female dogs or whatever the dogs do. So, in other words, to bring people to Krishna consciousness, we have to at least take them out of the mode of ignorance, get them to give up eating meat, pashugnat, which means killers of the pashu, killer of the animal. So this is, anyway, these are some points I can draw out from this particular verse and purport. There's more too, about the etiquette of offering respects to one's spiritual master before one begins to speak. So any questions or comments? We'll keep it short because there's work today. Questions, comments, arguments? No? Everybody understands the points I was making? About the different modes of nature, and even devotees are in different modes of nature? Lord Kapiladeva says there's devotees in the mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness. And also transcendental devotees. Four types of devotees, according to Kapiladeva. Ignorance, goodness, passion, and then transcendental. And of course, there's mixed too. I mean, sometimes we may be in passion, sometimes we may be in ignorance, and sometimes we may be in goodness. So it's not that it's not so clearly distinct, but that's the general designations that Lord Kapiladeva gives. And also, we should not go around telling devotees you're an ignorant devotee. That will not really help them advance spiritually in Krishna consciousness. So, no questions?
When you reach transcendental, then the three modes doesn't affect you?
The three modes don't affect you. Mamchiyogya vicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samate chaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. And then what you're attracted by is the pastimes, just the nectar of the pastimes. You don't worry about liberation at that point. Whereas if you're in goodness, you worry about liberation. You see, there's different motives, different things that stimulate or enthuse you according to your mode of nature. Just like really, when I joined the movement, what enthused me, you know, one thing, just to be honest, was getting a position in the Krishna consciousness movement. You know, you take sannyas, you get plenty of mahaprasadam, which I can't eat anymore, but and people respect you. You know, so that's passion there. You know, position, control, like Lord Brahma. You know, the reason he became Lord Brahma is he wanted to control. For Krishna, you know, to serve Krishna, but control Krishna. But as one advances, a symptom of one who advances is that one is no longer stimulated by that, no longer attracted by that. And I say, join the Krishna consciousness movement, you can become eventually temple president. They say, who wants it? But, you know, in the beginning, you know, there's mixture. You know, karma mijra, jnana mijra. Jnana mijra means the desire for liberation. And karma mijra means the desire for some sort of position or enjoyment in this world. So a gauge of our advancement is that we're no longer stimulated by those things, even within Krishna consciousness, that we just want to sit and hear and chant about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's name. That's a symptom of advancement, that we no longer want to be in charge. You know, I mean, remember many years ago, I really wanted to be in charge. But now, I just want to chant. I know Krishna wants I can be in charge, or if he doesn't want, I can't be, I won't be, so it doesn't matter, right? So that's a symptom of advancement. That's vairagya. Vairagya definitely means free from passion. Ragya. Raj. You know, rajagun, vairagya. Without passion. Passion means the desire to control. Ishwaroham, aham bhogi, siddoham, balavan, sukhi. You know. That's passion. Controller, I'm powerful, I'm the temple president, I'm the GBC, I'm your guru. One takes those services up, but as services, not because they particularly attract you more than anything else. That's an important point. Okay, time to work. All right. All glories to Srimad Gaudiya Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Gurudev Ki Jai.
He's going to work.
Okay. So what's the schedule? Well, now I think it's the... I know that schedule. I mean, that's not a problem. I mean, just this morning. So we have to leave. What's that? That's a Maha Mantra chanted by a duck.
Yeah, breakfast downstairs.
Okay.
Breakfast, she has prepared everything.
Okay.
We'll leave.
And she's going to work too. Okay. All right, we'll figure that out. Do you have any way to make a CD? Because I have to have a CD for tonight's program, and I have the music on my computer.
CD burner.
I don't have a CD burner.
Do
you have a CD burner?
Yes, we have.
Oh, it's on your computer downstairs. And you have any blank CDs there? Or?
I have blank CDs.
Okay, so if you could leave that out, so later on I can make, because I need the certain music I need for my, you know, regression. When I do the regression. Okay.
When you come down.
And there's no password or anything like that?
No password.
No password to enter on the computer. Okay. I can figure that out. If you just leave some, that's in your office. Right? Oh, okay. So you can just leave the blank CD, like one of the blank CDs out. Okay. Okay, doctor.
Did you have any trouble with the keys?
No.
Get stuck on the door.
I never had the problem.
Yesterday I locked, and then just like you were telling me, you have to
put it back a little bit, and then you pull it out. I've never had a problem with the key. Just like you're good with the body, I'm good with mechanical things. Yes, it's because of Krishna Vijaya. I can hear about Krishna. He took all the dirt out of my heart. I know. Okay.